Thank you, Holy Spirit. We love you. We love your presence. Kai de kai getele tuse katanda sakala de tibala takandas. Shakambra tuse felia makomla da sa takela totia belanos. Thank you, Father. We thank you for this morning. Thank you for your presence that lives in us, and that presence that surrounds us, and that presence that ignites us, and that presence that saturates us. We ask that, Father, this morning you flood our hearts with the revelation knowledge of your Son, that we would know what is the hope of your calling and what are the riches, the glory of inheritance of the saints in the light. What is the exceeding greatness of your power toward us who believe, according to your mighty power which you worked in Christ when you raised him from the dead, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age but in that which is to come. And you gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is your body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. As we sit at your feet this morning, we ask that you wash us, you cleanse us, you baptize us with your fire, and we live here as revived beings. We thank you, Father. We bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. I miss you guys so much. So I want to still continue on the series we have begun. Please, and a big please, if you haven't followed the series we are on, the importance and power of quiet time, please repent and do thy first works. Go back to those teachings, because your future depends on this. You know, I keep emphasizing on the fact that some of these things we are sharing with you are things that you will pay for in the future if you don't take them serious as a child of God. You got to listen to me very carefully. We are heading a certain age. And hear me, it's going to get darker and darker. It's going to be so dark to the extent that a time is going to come, you can't even identify who a Christian is anymore. Because Christians are going to be so overwhelmed that they will have to compromise and join the world to rebel against God's purposes and counsel. And I speak to you as a prophet. The Bible tells us, verse 2, it tells us, behold, and gross darkness, but the Lord shall arise as light. Now, what scripture is telling us, and what I pick prophetically from this verse, is that darkness is covering the earth now, and gross darkness the people. So the darkness in the life of people will be more than the darkness on the earth. But he's saying that the Lord shall what? Arise upon thee. But you see, this is not automatical. You need to realize, you see, by scriptural intelligence, I came to the realization that God only arises when we arise. Are you following this? Because there are legalities involved in these matters. God will only arise in the midst of darkness and gross darkness. Please let me have some volume. I'm struggling. When the church begins to arise and take its place. Are we following this? And listen to me. When we are talking about arising as a church, We are talking about building a quality relationship with Jesus. You will realize that this year I've been so much emphasizing on our walk with God. And you see, most of the time, many of you have not realized that my teachings are highly prophetic. I spend quite a number of hours to hear God in every message that I present. And in this season, what is going to happen is that if you have not built a relationship with Jesus Christ, you'll be swallowed up by the tension and the pressure that is arising. And hear me, it is more difficult to build a relationship with God than to build a church. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You see, in as much as there are challenges in building a church, everybody can build a church. Agrada has built one. And it's full. Just have enough money. Just have money. Tell somebody, vitamin M. They call it vitamin M. Just have money. Tell somebody, just have money. Build a structure. Put LED screen. Add smoke and add nice lights and add air condition. Eh? You'll get people to come and join you. I'm telling you. It is more easier to build a church than to build a relationship with Jesus. And today there are many preachers today who don't have a relationship with Jesus. They've not built one, but they've built churches. It's more easier to build your personal, your private house than to build a relationship with Jesus. I'm telling you this. You see, so building a relationship with God is building a relationship with a spirit you can't see. You see what makes the whole thing technical? You are building a relationship with a spirit you can't see. In the initial stages, that activity you are doing to build that relationship seems as though it is not real. It will take time and consistency for you to begin to have an experience of that reality you began, or that journey that you began by faith. So in building a relationship with the Spirit, it takes faith. Now, in the dark kingdom, okay, worship these speakers for the next 1 year. A spirit will appear through it. It's the consistency that will bring that reality. It's the same in the kingdom of God. When we become consistent in building a walk with God, I'm not talking about a stroll. I'm talking about a walk. You begin to get feedback from God when you begin and you are consistent. You get feedback. In the midst of this tough economy, in the midst of this darkness, Muslims still pray 5 times a day. In the midst of this hard crisis, Jews still pray 3 times a day. It is only Christians who are looking at my face now, who are using the economy, pressure, stress, busy schedules, lecture, exams as an excuse why they don't maintain their relationship with God. Only Christians. I told you of how I brought an air conditioning repairer to my house to come and do an air conditioning for us. When it was time, he knelt down in front of my door and he was praying. I can't sack him. But his presence at that place was a conviction to my soul.
that in the midst of work, you see, it is only Christians who have separated their Christian life from life. It's only Christians. While working, he still remembered his God. Oh! While working. We do ours only on Sundays. Or when it is convenient. It's only Christianity. Yet, every thing that seems to, this inflation, this coronavirus, all these things was orchestrated by Satan against the church. One ex-occultist was interviewed and said, since he met Satan and all his generals, every meeting they attended, the agenda was about Christians. Now, isn't this interesting? In India, they have about 33,000 gods in India. So if you think there are about five religions, you are mistaken. 33,000 gods. Why not go for meetings on some of these gods? All the meetings they attend, the agenda is Christians. I don't know whether it's this church I told you about, an account of a man of God who sat in a flight, and there was a very wonderful gentleman that was close to him who looked very neat, composed, and very ethical in his gestures. So when the air hostess came serving them with their meals, it got to him. He said, he's fine. He's very fine. And the man was just, he just loved his personality and thought to just engage him in a conversation and ask him his name. He told him his name, asked him where he was going, told him where he was going. And he was like, I realize you didn't take the food. Why are you on diet? Because myself, I'm looking for somebody who can give me advice on dieting. He says, no, I'm not on diet. I'm fasting. He says, whoa, you must be a Christian then. He says, no. He says, are you a Muslim? Because Muslims are not fasting because it's not Ramadan yet. He said, I'm not a Muslim. I am a witch. And the pastor sat down well. Why was he fasting? He said that they have their annual convention. And that month, the theme for the month was destroying Christian marriages and breaking Christian homes. So they were fasting to accomplish that purpose easier. The pastor came sad. He came back to his country sad and broken hearted of how determined a witch is in destroying Christians that he's fasting for 7 days only on water. To be energized in wickedness. And then Christians are using all kinds of excuses why they don't energize themselves in God. When God says that, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Listen to me. When we are talking about being strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, we are talking about quiet time. It begins from there. Listen, you see, two major things that will keep your fire, okay, is keeping your quiet time actively consistent and then having continuous monthly retreats as a child of God. So, for example, you read, you pray for an hour a day. You read the Bible for about 30 minutes or 45 minutes a day. You do meditation for about 15 minutes a day. Probably it's not all, you don't do all together, but you find a means of doing that if you have the time. In fact, you have to make the time to do that. Now, when you subscribe to that journey, that's a very good thing that sustains your spiritual life, bonds you with God, and creates a certain hemisphere around you that keeps your consistency in God active. But you see, at the end of the month, there is a requirement that you go for retreat. You can do it at home, but it's a retreat. So you can choose to turn off your phone on Saturday from 6 o'clock a.m. till 3 p.m. or from 6 o'clock a.m. to 4 p.m., you are in the presence of God. You are silent. You are maintaining solitude. For information, there's a difference between silence and solitude. Silence is the serenity of your environment. Solitude is the serenity of your soul. So one is outward, the other is inward. Are you getting that? So all these things, when you're able to make time in retreats to do that, just even one day retreat, personal retreat. Now, our fathers in the old times, my dad, they went for retreats. No wonder they were so strong in their faith. They were so rooted and grounded. And these are serious matters that we need to observe as children of God. An ex-Satan who was interviewed was saying that the reason why we are stronger than you Christians and we will always defeat you is because we spend more time with our God than you do. On Sundays, they also go to church. If you are 1 minute late, your price is death. They spend not less than 8 hours in church service. You know, some years ago, when you go to church in the morning, you return home at 5 p.m. They will preach, teach, they will do Bible studies. All this is a different. Preaching, teaching, Bible studies, prayer, all this is a different disciplines. So by the time you are coming out of church, you are fully full and drunk by the Holy Ghost. Because you see, what you drink controls you. I'm telling you. So listen to me. In this time that we are in, if you replace fashion, if you replace passion with fashion, your troubles will be great. I'm telling you. If you replace passion with fashion, your troubles will be great. So we've been looking at this thing we are calling quiet time, and I don't know how the devil has succeeded in injecting a certain poison of underestimation to that word called quiet time. So now people just think quiet time is something we just do for the fun of it. Listen, one, I was told, Minister Godwin was preaching at the time, and he made a statement that in creation, maybe I can't say it exactly as he said it, but in creation, the plants that came out of the ground had to remain in the ground to survive. Meaning when you uproot the plant from the ground, what happens? It dies. Fishes have to remain in the sea in order to survive. When you take them out of the fish, they strangle themselves to death. The believer must remain in the presence of God in order to survive. If not, he will strangle his spiritual life to death. So that is why Jesus told us in the book of John chapter 15, he says, abide in me. He's saying that I am actually your abode of survival. I'm your realm of survival. Remain in me. Continue in me. Draw your strength from me. Tap from me. Rest in me. Draw from me. Because anytime you uproot yourself from God, you are heading towards withering. The Bible says, he that dwelleth, not he that visiteth, in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. So all the promises that came in Psalm 91, the next time you are quoting it, quote the verse 1 well. It says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, God shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He began to state all the promises that comes to those who dwell in the secret place. I'm not saying that if you're supposed to go to work at 8 o'clock, you dwell in the secret place till 8 p.m. You lose your job. But you can dwell in the secret place whilst you are dwelling in the office. It's, you see, when the Bible tells us to pray without ceasing, he is not just talking about the activity. He's speaking about the attitude. Are you following this? So he's not saying that you stay in a room and pray for 24 hours. You can't do that. God can give you grace occasionally because I've prayed 24 hours non-stop before. Our father Charles has prayed 48 hours non-stop before. Please, are you following this thing? But you see, what we are trying to say is that it's not mainly in the duration, but the attitude of the heart. He's saying that develop a heart posture before God that is always drawing from God. So after you've done your morning devotion on your way to work, you say, thank you, Father. Thank you for your goodness. I love you. I praise you, Lord. I bless you. You go back to your duties. After like 30 minutes, you're like, Lord, I just want you to know I love you. Do you know what you are doing? As you keep that atmosphere around you, the presence of God will saturate your life, number one. Number two, it is going to be very difficult for the enemy to pump wrong thoughts into your mind. Are you getting that? Because the more conscious you are of God, the more unconscious you become of the devil. Satan is so wise, so he looks for times when you are idle, then he begins to inject poisonous thoughts into you. He will tell you, bro, have you eaten? You see, there's no money. Everybody has left you. Nobody will help you. You are a failure to begin with. Have you realized that no guy has proposed to you this year? That means you're not beautiful, though. No, that's what he'll be doing to you. Most of these thoughts that come to you, 90% of them are from the pit of hell. And Satan will try you with thoughts. He will try you with evil thoughts. Bad thoughts. There are times Satan says bad things about my wife to me. You have to identify his voice. How? You have to scrutinize his voice through the voice of the word. And if you're a Christian who doesn't have a quiet time, you are in trouble. Because now you just go to social media, you're just flipping on just something on social media. All of a sudden you see a half-naked lady and he's sowing a seed. You will be there. You are just a little idle. Then he'll bring the thought of that picture you saw. And then he'll tell you, bro, you can do it easier when you go to Google search. Then he'll be giving you intelligence. He will tell you, go type P-O-R-N and search it. Then you search it, then you see the pictures, then something. Let's just search it. You don't want to watch, you want to watch. At that time, it's luring you gradually. I'm telling you, it takes a demonic process to do that. And the more you are doing that, you are entertaining a spirit. Listen, that thing that comes to you is a spirit talking to you. So the more you are doing that, you are entertaining the presence of a spirit around you. So what happens is that you watch the first time, and what happens is that because you become horny at that time, you are looking for a place to pour that horny. And since you don't get it, you begin to masturbate. And as you masturbate, many of you don't know. I mean, how many of you have heard of spiritual marriage? Now, most of the time in spiritual marriage, when you sleep, a spirit comes to sleep with you. So you don't sleep with the spirit physically, right? But in the spirit, you sleep with the spirit. That's how it looks like, right? In that same vein, when you masturbate, you are sleeping with a demonic spirit. So don't think you are alone. A spirit was involved in that sexual activity. And you are breaking a certain spiritual violation that is actually calling for taskmasters in the spirit into your life. And at that time, the enemy has a nice way of giving you demonic intelligence. Listen, that demonic intelligence, I'm telling you. Demonic intelligence. If you're looking for Nkuto to do it, you can't find Nkuto. He'll tell you, use your sister's styling gel. Oh, you don't get this thing. You don't get styling gel. We tell you there's key soap. And at that time, key soap will damage the frontier of your, we call it the cap. You know the cap? Okay, let me leave this area. Let me leave this area. The way some of you are watching me, it seems. So now a time comes, you will love yourself so much that you will never find any sexual pleasure in any woman. So you get married and you still love yourself. You didn't love yourself. It was a spirit you loved. But the spirit deceived you to think that you are loving yourself. So in spiritual marriage, eh, what happens is that it was against your will that the spirit legally gained access to do that damage to you. But in masturbation, it was you looking for the spirit. You are saying, hey, bruh. Yes, I'm teaching you some spiritual principles. And that's how come it now becomes very hard. So listen, you see, in the spirit realm, energies really matter. So for example, we are beings of energy. Do you know you can enter a place, you see two people there, when they are not talking to each other, you can know it. Do you know that? You can feel it, that these two people, they are not talking. Nobody told you. But there was an energy they were producing telling you that these two people are quarreling. It's an energy. When someone doesn't like you to a certain extent, a time comes when you get closer to the person, you will feel it. It's an energy. We are beings of energy. So listen to me. You see, our lives are like magnetic fields. You see, demons are associated with sin. God, the Holy Spirit, and angels are associated with righteousness. So anytime the believer is involved in sin, he is actually drawing himself magnetically to a demonic being that will put him into bondage. So when you engage in sinful practices, what you're doing is that you are amalgamating. You are drawing yourself magnetically to a force that will make sure he will keep you in bondage for a very long time. So sin is not just an activity. Sin is a force. Sin is an energy. And the more you keep feeding your sin, what happens is that your sin will gain strength. Because every sin you find in scripture, there are demons that stay it. There are demons of masturbation, demons of lust. So once you are heading in that area, that territorial spirit in charge of that, you welcome him home. So listen to me. When a believer involves himself in quiet time consistently, what he's doing is that he's drawing life from the giver of life. Listen. So when we do quiet time, it's an energy we are building. We are building a certain energy. It's a strong force. So that energy can grow to the extent that it begins to surround your life and your life begins to emit life. So some things that are not from God begins to die. So, you see, so I've seen somebody who says, oh, I've been trying this thing to overcome masturbation. I've still not done. Master, you have been doing this thing for the past 10 years. You can't use 2 months to destroy it. There are times God, by his divine means, can just remove that desire. It happens, but it's not always the case. The way it took you time for you to build that lifestyle, it will take you time to unbuild it. It will take you time to uproot it. But you see, the more you are spending time with God, the more energy you are emitting from his presence. And soon that energy will begin to overcome that dark energy that seems to increase in your life. I've told you 2 things that Satan hates. And every child of God must be very serious about this thing I'm teaching you. 2 things Satan hates. He hates salvation of souls, number one. Number two, he hates spiritual growth. So Satan will do everything for people not to be born again. Have you forgotten in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the verse 3 and 4, it says, if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the glorious gospel, who is the image of Jesus Christ, should shine upon them. So Satan blinds men so they are not saved. He's using philosophies, he's using religions. He's using strongholds to cloud the minds of people so they don't see the gospel. And if through the power of the Holy Ghost, the eyes of men are open, like the Bible says in 2 Corinthians, that we are with an unveiled face, because when a man turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. So the next thing is that when you got born again, the devil's like, really? So you managed to escape what I said for you not to be born again. Let's see how you're going to grow. That's like I'm growing spiritually is a fight. You have to fight to grow. So So in 2 Timothy chapter 2 from the verse 3 to 5, Paul began to give us a certain spiritual understanding of how the believer should enroll in spiritual occupations that will give him enough strength to be able to fight. So he began to tell us that there are three spiritual occupations that every Christian must subscribe. The first one is a good soldier. Number two is an athlete. Number three is a farmer. So when you read the verse 3, he says, therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. He's telling you that you are a son of God, yet you are supposed to be, you are supposed to grow into to become a good soldier of Jesus. If you want to survive the Christian game, for him to say you must become a good soldier of Jesus Christ, he's telling you that Christianity is war. And remember your three enemies. Your three enemies are a busy devil, a corrupt flesh, and an enticing world. Satan is looking for your worship. The world is looking for your conformation, and the flesh is looking for your gratification. And you'll be shocked to know that amongst all these three enemies of the believer, the strongest and the most deadliest and the most dangerous and the most wickedest is your flesh. It's not even Satan. Because your flesh is an internal traitor. He's the one that opens the door from within for the devil to attack you. So your flesh is a traitor. So God is saying that if you enroll in the army of God, one enemy you must not keep in you is the flesh. So he says, number one, in Romans 13:14, he says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. He's telling you, don't give an allowance to your flesh. I'm teaching you there. In Colossians chapter 3, the verse 5, the Bible says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. He's saying the word mortify means to deaden, to give, to kill. It means to deprive of power. In Romans chapter 8 from the verse 12, he says, brethren, we are not debtors to the flesh to fulfill its desires or to live after the flesh. We don't owe the flesh. If you owe me 10,000 Ghana cedis and I come for my money, you must pay. But if I don't owe you, or you don't owe me, and I come to you and I ask you for the 10,000, you just get out of here. The flesh will demand something he has not given to you, and he's expecting you to do it. So he says, we are not debtors. The verse 13 says that if you live by the flesh, you shall die. That word death there is not speaking of physical death. The word death there means to strangle your spiritual life to death. When something is dead, it is inactive. It has lost its power. So he's saying you will lose the power in your Christian life when you live after the flesh. He says, but if through the Spirit you mortify the deeds of the body, he says you will live. So we do it through the Spirit. Through the Spirit. So the Christian is supposed to live the spirit life in order to live the real Christian life. So listen to me. Don't live your Christian life for chance. No. If the devil can't attack you, he will attack the people you love. You know, when Satan wanted to fight God and he did not prevail and he was cast down, do you know the people he went to? The people God loves. Men. So when you read the Bible, it says he has a short time. He says, woe unto the inhabitants of the earth. You know why? Because he couldn't fight God, so he fights the people God loves. So if the devil can't fight you, he fights the people you love. He realizes your prayer life is growing. He can't attack you. He'll make sure he will attack someone close to you so that he'll weaken you. So listen to me. Pick up your weapons. Because whether you fight or not, the devil is fighting you. 2, he used the word athlete. Look at that. In 2 Timothy 2, the verse 4. You see, now he says that no man that worreth entangleth himself with affairs of this life. Now, when you read NLT, he says no one who worries, who wars, entangles himself with civilian life. You know civilian life? Worldly things. You can't entangle yourself with civilian life. I'm telling you. Military men live in the bush. Spiritual military men live in the presence. He says that for then they cannot please the officer who enlisted them. That means, listen, if you want to please God, you must fight. You must be a soldier in order to please God. That means Satan will do everything possible to fight your life to the extent that you won't be able to please God. So listen, no one can ever please God without war. That's what the Bible is telling you. In the verse 5, it begins to tell us that an athlete cannot win the prize unless they follow what? The rules. So you see, anytime we get extra biblical in understanding of grace to say that because we are under grace, there are no laws, we'll be in trouble. We've all gone through that spiritual constipation before. There are rules. Listen, if an athlete wants to win, he must go by rules. Have you realized an athlete prepares 4 years for a 1 minute race? Doesn't it shock you? He prepares 4 years for a 1 minute 100 meter race. Telling you the labor in our preparation is more rigorous than the activity itself in a Christian life. The Bible says, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. If I can't carry this puppet, it's not because the puppet is wicked. It's because I don't have enough strength to be able to carry it. Someone can carry it with ease. Because he has built capacity. So listen to me. Adversity only comes to reveal what is in you. So listen to me. If you are there, you easily get depressed. That depression is telling you you don't have enough capacity. If you are somebody who is always sad and emotional, when something happens to you, no, you are emotional. Bibiana usu. That thing that is making you cry is revealing to you that you are weak. So do something about it. Check your life. The very things that make you angry to do the wrong things, it is actually revealing your capacity. Because that same thing that is making you angry every day to fight, there are people, it's not a problem for them. Am I teaching you well here? So he used the word athleticism. And you see, the number one enemy of an athlete is weight. So you can't afford to have weight as a child of God. When you read the book of Hebrews chapter 12, the verse 1, the Bible says, from the verse 1, yes. He says, wherefore seeing that we are compassed by so great a cloud of witness, he says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin. So we need to understand there's a difference between weight and sin. If Satan cannot make you sin, he will put a weight on you. So, you know, I've heard some Christians say that, oh, by the grace of God, the whole year I've not fornicated. Okay, how about your prayer life? What is wrong with it? By the grace of God, I've not touched any woman's breast this year, to the glory of God. We thank God for your life. Have you been able to fast from 6 to 6? And what is that thing that is preventing you from doing that? So, now, you see, Satan will realize that, okay, this guy, there are some things I can't get him with. So what I'll do is that I'll put a weight on him. He will let you watch social media from morning to evening. Especially the reels. Now I'm sharing reels. Now Jimenezu. Your bandit is finished. You load another one. Your bandit, that one too finished. And then you borrowed credits from MTN to continue on the reeling. At that time, the reels is a weight. It is preventing you from transacting business with God. You have not seen though. You have not seen. So I've seen people boasting the fact that, oh, by the grace of God, to the glory of God, me, those things that people have been doing, I don't do it though. Mm-mm. And Satan is like, yeah, keep saying it. Keep shouting it. You're a big boy. He has managed to make you heavy as a Christian. And you don't know what, see, Satan has time for you. I'm telling you, he has appointed special demons to be with you. They monitor you. They know the movies you like. They know. Hey, demons have stayed with men for more than 6,000 years. They know how men think. They know how men behave when they're under pressure. They know. They know your great-grandfather. Your great-great-great-great-grandfather. They knew the kind of women that he loved. So when they see that, oh, for example, you are just standing and you saw a fair lady, you turn like this. The demons are, I want to throw notes, not to her. up at this particular color of ladies. The next day, you turn again. Like, confirmation, that's good. I'm telling you, research analysis. We a project work in the spirit. Especially, let me just warn you. it's a sad warning, but I have to. If you have engaged in any of our intercession meetings, and when we're praying, Lord, save souls, Lord, spirits have helped people bound, we bind them. What happened to you is that you actually succeeded in binding them. So they were looking for those who were praying that prayer. So they are. My God, don't call me again. It's too late. You tried it. When you asked, you did it once. At home. So right now, the plan of the demons is that they will have to put you in a place where you will make that mistake again. Yes. Haven't you realized that you were on fire for 2 months? After 3 months, the fire went. You've not realized it. Satan said, you won't repeat it again. You won't. You won't. That's why I said it's a fight. Listen, if you realize your spiritual life is coming down, quickly go on a fast. You see, that's how we fight. You had a dream. When you had the dream, a demon with 3 teeth at APSA. Imagine when I'll finish you. then you woke up and you are still eating. Christians are not intelligent, I'm telling you. You received a signal as an army man. Rise up quickly. There was a woman who died. She died 4 years after she had a dream that a relative appeared to her and said, you, I'll kill you with cancer. It was after 4 years they brought the woman to me for me to pray for her, until she was telling me that's what the spirit told her 4 years ago. It was too late. Whilst I was praying for her, the Lord said she would die. Yes. She didn't do anything about that dream she had. It took 4 years. She had cancer. The husband took her everywhere. By the time it got to me, it was too late. So many Christians are not intelligent. You see, you need to have spiritual intelligence. You have a dream, someone says he's going to kill you. You have a dirty, foolish dream. You don't just get this thing. Go on a fast about that dream. Take communion. Pray to that dream until your heart is at peace, don't stop. I had a dream. In the dream, I was having a Bluetooth headset on my ears. And then something hit my ears. By the time I removed the Bluetooth headset, all the two, the place you hear from, were broken. That means someone is after my hearing. Quickly went on a fast. I'll finish a fast too. I quickly went back. So to those of you who fast, they say we are fasting 14 days. We are done with the 14 days. You had a dream. You say, oh, yeah. Listen. This thing is a fight. Like, I'm telling you the truth. Do you realize soldiers who are on assignment, they don't sleep with their shoes off? Because lace, you know, it's about 23. What time are you come to lace? They'll kill you. So he sleeps with his shoes on. There was one soldier, they went for a mission for 3 months. When he came back, his feet was rotting. He said they don't sleep with their boots off. You sleep with your uniform. You wear one uniform. You don't wash it. They eat from the bush. That's why in your training, they make sure they take you to a place. They make you kill your fears. The things you are afraid of, that's where they take you. Collins here. They took them to the bush. And they were afraid. And you eat there. You sleep there. They don't care that there are snakes there. They want you to conquer your fears. So fear is a luxury you can't entertain as a child of God. Those of you cannot sleep with lights off. Conquer it. Conquer it with fasting. Those of you who can't sleep when nobody's around you, conquer it, because a spirit can take advantage of that weakness that you are having. Listen, every weakness you have is an advantage for Satan. He will eat from it. He will eat from that weakness that you are entertaining. So he says that the sin and the weight, if Satan realizes he can't make you sin, he will put a weight on you. So you are a Christian, but you are heavy. You pray for 5 minutes, you are asleep, or you don't feel like praying. Why? Because you have entertained yourself with the wrong videos. It's only Christians who don't have limits with their Christian life. You don't have limit. They don't have limit. So you can be on social media for 3 hours, 4 hours on social media. You don't have spiritual intelligence. Listen, be alert. Rise up as a child of God. Contend for the faith. Fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life. Satan is looking for something from you. He knows what it means for the weakest believer to go down on his knees calling unto his God. He knows the power that is released in a 30 minutes prayer that is prayed from faith. So he says in 2 Timothy 2 the verse 5, the second occupation is athleticism. So he's telling you, remember he used the word good soldier, telling you that Christianity is war. And when you hear war, you hear ranking. That means Satan doesn't fear your title, he fears your rank in the spirit. You don't have to be a pastor to have a ranking. There are people in churches who are more stronger in spirit than their pastor. Because they're engaging in things the pastor is not engaging in. Are you following what I'm saying? So this one also now tells us that Christianity is a race. You cannot run this race without doing something to your body. If you're a Christian who loves your body, you can't run. You guys know how fat I was 3 years ago. God told me there's something I want to do with you in the whole world. I require your body. I love my body so well, I'm telling you, because I look good in clothings when I wear them. Yes, so God saw it. God saw it. Listen, if you want to work with God, there are some things you love, he'll take from you. Because he knows that those things you love are the very thing that will bring you down. There are people who say they love Korean movies. That's the very thing that will bring you down. Because you have said it. I love it. Yes. Be careful. Anything you love about God, above God, anything that you love right now above God is dangerous. Did you hear what I said? Anything what you love above God is dangerous. So if you love Facebook, you love YouTube, you love conversations with friends, you love education, you love your wife above God, that love will be an advantage Satan will use why you won't serve God. So every athlete needs to be light. The lighter you are, the faster you run. Are you realizing that? So an athlete's advantage is lightness. That's when he becomes fast, swift. So he's telling you that your swiftness as a Christian comes from discipline. You won't find an athlete eating cake with sugar in it. You won't find an athlete eating pork. You won't find an athlete eating chocolate. You'll be shocked the kind of diet they eat. They do this so that they'll be light enough, because the heavier you are, the chances of not winning a race. Are you following this? Then he used the last word in the next verse. He says they are hardworking what? So, first one was war. Second one was race. Third one is what? Farming. What's the idea of farming? Fruit. So, in the first one, he's saying that to be able to please God, you need to be a good soldier. To be able to win God, you need to be a good athlete. Now, to be able to harvest God, you need to be a hardworking farmer. So, he used the dedication of a soldier, the discipline of an athlete, and the hard work of a farmer. Whilst you are asleep, the farmer is awake, irrigating his plants. That's what you're talking about, quiet time. There are things you do when people are not around. Listen, we don't have sex in the open. Building intimacy of God with God is done in secret. So listen, your depth in God is found in the things you do in secret with him. Now, have you realized that in these three spiritual occupations the Bible is mentioning, soldier, athlete, farmer, there's one common denominator amongst them. Can I tell you? It's called separation. It's called what? Separation. What we call consecration. So there is no believer who will ever be effective without consecration. So what we mean by consecration is to separate yourself for the Lord's purposes. Please, are you following this? Have you ever seen a fetish priest in Accra Mall? Doing shopping. He's wearing his priestly regalia, and then he says, put two series in the basket. Tangerine. Cornflakes. Cocoa Pops. Fetish priest. You won't find him there. Have you seen a fetish priest in Kempinski? Giving one of the best rooms in this place. Why? He's consecrated in serving the office of his deity. So he puts himself in the bush for 17 years in order to get strong, you go to a shrine and tell me you are born again, so you want to destroy a shrine. There was one young believer like that. He got born again and he said he's going to his father's house to go and break the shrines. He got born again just 1 month. And unfortunately, the place he went was Volta. A place by my spiritual stature. I didn't even go there to go and destroy a god. That's where he went. He went and he put the things down, pulled the things down, and he burned the thing. The people were wicked though. They didn't kill him instantly. They made him partially mad. And they made him walk from Volta region to Accra. When he got to Accra, he died. Tell somebody. Hey, Ikwanda. Listen, that fetish spirit has built a certain level of consecration that his idol has saturated that environment. He did that by consecration. Can you consecrate your eyes that there are some things you can't behold? Some of you have no business with certain movies because you already know the content of the movie. You've seen a series, and then the series title is Romantic Love. What are you expecting? You know what you're expecting before you watch that movie now. You know the harm that will happen to you, but you are still watching it. You are letting Satan exploit your passion, your desires. He's shifting something in your soul without you knowing. You thought they were Hollywood was entertaining you, meanwhile they were educating you. They were educating you. There are so many things you learned in movies than in university. Because it is difficult to go for lectures, but it's very easy to watch a movie. So they place a lot of institutional education in movies than in a lecture hall. Because at that time, all your spiritual walls are down. So they attach the blue man to a lesbian. So the guy can fight. It's actually, I like the guy's skills. So the blue man that you love, you have come to admire the guy because of his skill. He can jump from an airplane and he'll land like a shoo. You're like, Charlie, this guy's serious. Then he attached a lesbian to be a gay to be his gay partner. So you cannot love the blue man without loving his partner. So at that time, you are accepting an unbiblical reality subconsciously without knowing. And what Satan is cooking is that the time will come when he will suggest lesbianism. At that time, you are already educated spiritually. That's why I said there are some movies you have no business watching. The last time I was flipping on Netflix and I saw a season movie titled Witches of the Coven. And they have season 1, season 2, season 3. I said a Christian will in fact fall in love with that one and watch it. And they are practicing witchcraft. And you as a Christian know that no witch loves you in Ghana. And you are watching The Witches Coven, season 1, season 2, season 3. And what you are doing is that you are actually creating an atmosphere. Listen, all the things they are chanting is real. Hey, I said all the things they are chanting is what? Real. So when they are in the movie and they're saying, where did they get those words from? Some of them read books and knew how to do those chanting so they can act it perfectly. And Satan was taking advantage of their knowledge from the things they've learned. And he's invoking spirits in that movie. So they'll be quoting, they'll be chanting, Amitabha, and you are watching. What he's doing is that from the TV, they are emitting spirits into your house. Listen, Satan is a smart man, no? You don't know this deceiver. He's so wicked. And you watched that movie and got a demon into your house. You never knew how that demon entered. It was through YouTube. It was through a movie. It was through Netflix. So listen to me. You know, 3 dangerous groups are one of Satan's dangerous weapons. 1 is pornography. 2 is movies. 3 is celebrities. Many don't know that. 1 is what? pornography is giving him a lot of customers. Number two is what? Movies. Satan has gotten a lot of harvest from movies. Now, you see, so those movies, they act and they say they are doing premiere. It's a launching in hell. And number three is what? Celebrities. Let me tell you, as a Christian, if you go to a Shatawale's program, the spirit Shatawale, you know, those times when I was working in Star FM, I observed something. There was a time they brought some celebrities. I won't mention the name of celebrities. Before they came on stage, I saw them smoking to high up before they come to stage. No, you that Christian, tell me if this is right. Now, know that there is a power that is working within them that activates something in them when they are high. So this is not entertainment. Now, right now, are we in church? Good. And are angels in church? So as I'm ministering to you, there are angels also in the service blessing people. Some of you, the angels are healing you. Some of you, angels are removing masks and veils from you. Angelic activity is going on here. The presence of God is here. In a Shatawale show or event or another celebrity who is immoral or whatever it is, in his show, there are demons present, and there's another presence present. And they are also doing ministration. So you go for that one activity and you come back and last hits you. You don't know where it came from. He didn't have intelligence in the spirit. That's why the Bible says, blessed is the man that worketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sit in the seat of scornful, nor stand in the way of what? Sinners. The Bible was teaching us things that we have taken for granted. And right now, listen, right now, Satan has so much ease in afflicting Christians. It's too easy to afflict an average Christian now. That's why it seems Satan is winning. Because the average Christian lacks spiritual intelligence. Next year, I'll spend time teaching you on legalities. And you understand how some of you have broken spiritual laws that have given Satan advantage. Listen, when you do certain kind of sins and you ask for, in fact, you say you are, in fact, God has forgiven you even before you did it. But what happens is that you can enjoy forgiveness and you can break a spiritual law and a spirit will take advantage of. So you're always coming and begging, mercy, mercy. And his mercies are always new every morning. You enjoy his mercy, but you never grow spiritually. You will never grow spiritually. I didn't preach my note today. Everything came from the Holy Spirit. That means that is what God wants you to hear this morning. Those who are spiritually wise, will glean from the wisdom of the ancient one. You want to lift your voice and pray. And mind you, I told you the presence of God is here and angels are also present. You want to tell God to help you to become an effective Christian. Remember, we spoke about three occupations that every believer must ascribe. Number one is military. That's, you must be a good soldier. Pray about it now. You must be an athlete that goes by the rules. And number three, you must be a farmer. Ask the Lord to help you to become a good soldier that will please God, to become a great athlete that will win God, and to become a spiritual farmer that will harvest God. That you'll be the soldier that will please God, the athlete that will have speed in his Christian virtues. And there will be a farmer that will produce fruit to the glory of God. Lift your voice in the next 1 minute and just pray.